informative, and engaging. Rick Mudd. Rick Mudd on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah. Just telling Jeff in the studio how completely unprofessional I am. You have no idea how fine I cut it. Like razor thin every day before I come on air. Literally 5 seconds before we go live, I'm like, but it all comes together. TNT Radio is like the A-team. We've got BA. We've got Murdoch. We've got whoever else. Face is in there. And who was the other guy? The Colonel? George Peppard. I don't know who he is. That's like Mike Ryan. He's like Hannibal. Hannibal. I'm not sure who Murdoch is. The crazy lunatic. I don't want to name names. I don't know. I'm a bit like BA, only I'm not black and I don't wear jewelry and I don't have a mohawk, but you know, in principle. And we've got the slick schmoozers like the Face, and I don't want to say who that is in the studio either. But anyway, what am I talking about? The A-team. What is it he says? I love it when a plan comes together. Mm-hmm. Well, I love it when a show comes together. So let's, Lord, help me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, here we go. What have we got on the books today? Well, we have another extravaganza, a barnstormer, if you will, as usual. You know, the quality never slips here on TNT. We have Darren Janner, Darren of Plymouth. And I know his real name, but you don't, and I'm not going to tell you. And a lot of people are doing that on Twitter at the minute. I know something you don't know. I can't tell you about it. Ooh, little girls in school playgrounds. That's what they're like. No one gives a damn what your little secret is, you big Jessies. Philip Altman is coming up after Darren. I hope Dr. Philip Altman, ex-Big Pharma, he's seen the light. He's seen the light. And now he's speaking out against these gangsters. And boy, what a resume this guy has. 40-odd years experience. Decades working with the Australian administration, signing off legitimate drugs. Now the top is being blown off the can, and Philip, to be fair to him, is leading the charge. He's been on the show quite a few times, and he's starting to pop up more and more on various platforms. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I want to believe the first place he surfaced was here, on Locked and Loaded. That's true. But I might be wrong about that. But we were certainly one of the earliest to get him. And then lastly, Louise Crefield will be joining me from Save Our Rights in the UK. She's an absolute warrioress. I don't know if she's a warrior or a warrioress, but she's fantastic. She really puts herself out there, risking imprisonment in court all the time, being fined tens of thousands of pounds for her stances. And still she battles on. So all being well, Louise Crefield is joining me later. What's been going on since yesterday? Well, the vice is tightening. Yes, the vice is tightening. BBC News tells us mortgage lenders halt some deals after the pound falls. Halt some deals. Mm-hmm. Watch how they pull the plug on all the good deals that fix you into a low interest rate, because the interest rates are going to go out of the ballpark. And you're going to be screwed if you've set yourself up in a variable rate mortgage and took on a humongous loan at this point in time. We've been warning you. We've been warning you here. Don't buy a house now. Don't do it. The prices will tank. The mortgage rates will go up. You will be hammered. Some listened, some didn't. As is life. The Guardian. Two UK lenders temporarily pull new mortgage deals amid volatile market. I hate to say this, but we've been trumpeting that here for about 6 months. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, I want to buy a house. I want to be a homeowner. No, you're not a homeowner. You're in debt for 20 to 30 to 50 years to a bank. You don't own your house when you get a mortgage. You rent it off the bank or building society. You're a homeowner if you can write a check for $500,000, $300,000, $200,000 and get the deeds and the keys. Then you're a homeowner. Until you pay your final mortgage payment, you don't own your home. Sorry, I can hear bubbles bursting everywhere. Some people don't know what they're getting themselves into. But what do I know? I'm just a crazy leprechaun. Here we go again. Who's this reporting on it? UK banks and lenders, including Halifax Bank of Scotland, the most scummy, disgusting, low-down organisation possibly on planet Earth. Halifax Bank of Scotland. How do I know? Because I had the misfortune of working for them for years, and I seen all their dirty, filthy, scummy moves. They were so scummy that even me at the time, being a scumbag myself, had to get out. It was too much even for me to be in that filthy, dirty, stinking cesspit of an organization, HBOS PLC. If you're with HBOS, watch your back. That's all I'm saying. And of course, I'm alleging they're a bunch of scumbags. What do I know? I only worked for them. I only saw how they worked. I only went on their training courses where they told me how they really operate and work people over. Rick Munn knows some stuff. I've been around the block a few times. Trust me, I've been in the dirty holes. I've been in those cesspits myself, wallowing in them like a pig in the muck. And believe you me, I could tell you some stories. Maybe I will. I'll write my memoir someday. My Life as a Dirty Pig by Rick Munn. Yeah, this is it. Out of control what the papers are saying about the government's handling of sterling crisis. You've heard the expression, and I'm going to finish on this, like a bull in a china shop. What does that mean? You imagine a shop full of delicate bone china, and a big bull goes rampaging through it, smashing everything to pieces. That's what's happened in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, since Liz Truss and her hatchet man, Kwasi Kwarteng, have taken up office. Bull in a china shop. There's going to be no china left by Christmas. And I don't mean the country. They'll be there. But no proverbial china in the metaphorical shop. So anyway, how's that for an intro? What am I going to tell you now? Yes, tntradio.live, that's where it's all happening. You need to connect with our website. There's a lot on there. You may even be able to, I don't know if you can at the minute or not, but you may even be able to avail yourself of some TNT merchandise. Yes, clothing. Buy a t-shirt, buy a baseball cap, buy a hoodie, buy a pair of TNT trousers, I don't know, socks maybe. I don't know what's on there. I'm looking forward to checking it out. But brand yourself with TNT Radio. Be a walking advertisement for the truth and help support your friendly neighborhood TNT Radio.
It's the stuff.
What citizen wouldn't want to make American great again?
People are talking about.
Vilifying MAGA, it's just not going to work.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Darren, over to you. I've said enough. I'm going to be quiet for the next 48 minutes. You can talk. Carry me home, my friend. Carry me home.
Good morning, Rick, and to all the listeners. Good morning. I always enjoy listening to the 10-minute Tuesday rant that we get from Rick. And yeah, if you own a mortgage right now, you should be, especially a variable rate tracker mortgage, you should be a little bit concerned because 0.75% they put up the interest rate. Average homeowner, that's £200 a month increase. Yeah. In fact, this interest rate increase, which is going to continue to go up, they have no choice in terms of their own economic and monetary policies, have to increase interest rates to combat inflation. The increase in your overall sort of home costs, just keeping the house, not your energy bills, is going to be way in excess of your energy bills. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple more percent and you're going to be looking at an extra £1,000 per month just on the rent payments that you're making to the bank. And it brings me back to the word mortgage itself. And I'm not sure if I've brought this up before, but if you look at the meaning of the word mortgage, it's two words, mort and gauge. And if you look at mort and find, what does mort really mean? Death. That's what it means. Mort means death. Engage means plan or pledge or honor. Yeah. So your mortgage is a death pledge and it's 25 years because that's what you get when you get a life sentence. And
it's longer now.
Find out.
Good luck getting a 25-year mortgage these days. It's 30 to 50 years intergenerational mortgage. So even if you don't have kids, the banker's saying, well, even after you die, your kids or your next of kin or whoever inherits your little pile of bricks will be able to continue on paying us post-mortem. Okay? Yeah. And there we have mortem, death. Death, death, death. Financial death, financial ruin. Rick, you're dramatic. You're too dramatic. Listen, I seen all this happening in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I seen house prices. You were a victim?
Of the mortgage. I saw what happened when my mortgage in 2008, when I owned a house, I no longer own that house. I didn't lose it or anything. Mm-hmm. She's got it. You know how it works. Yeah.
No bitterness at all from you. So
that's right. I'm glad to have got rid of that death pledge because she took it on for me. So
Worth it. Sometimes you have to amputate a limb to save the body, my friend. Better to enter into life with one arm and two legs than have two arms and two legs and be dead.
Not right. But I saw what happened when it was a couple of percent interest rate increase during the financial crisis that lasted for a period of about 2 years. And my mortgage went from about £300 a month to like 1200 quid a month. Yeah. Mm, I mean, I couldn't pay it.
Mental.
I couldn't pay it then. And this is going to be worse.
Yep.
Because we've got a whole load of other economic factors in terms of food prices, energy costs. We've got a war going on. There's some people still think we're in a bloody pandemic, which we'll get on probably talk about in a bit. And all these other, you know, influencing factors are going to, you know, compound the problem of I can't even pay my mortgage. So, people haven't seen nothing yet. It's all these things are happening at the same time. And it's the poorest people in our society, the people who struggle from month to month to make ends meet, who are going to suffer the most. And like you said, we've got this Quatang bloke, who's our chancellor in the UK. We've got Liz Truss, who no doubt is probably more incompetent than Boris. They've been brought in as the wrecking crew to sort of finally see in the economic destruction of the UK. And you only have to look at the evidence and the outcomes of their policies to understand what the intention of those policies really are. Forget the nice flowery name for the new laws and the help that's being offered, you know, free money and whatever it is that they're planning to do, cut taxes. All these laws, legislations, and actions will have one outcome. It won't be positive, and therefore, the only conclusion you can draw is that they're intentional.
They are. And I mean, like, listen, it's only been 2 or 3 weeks since Truss took up her position. Okay, just 2 or 3 weeks. And let's think about the last 2 to 3 weeks. I would say, and I haven't really analyzed this, but my gut feeling is she and her crew have caused more damage in the last 2 to 3 weeks than Johnson did in the last 2 years. That's the way I see it, because the first thing she said was, I don't care if I'm unpopular. First thing, I don't care. It matters not a jot to me. I'll just ram stam in and do what I want to do. If I'm the PM, I will not hesitate to go nuclear if I need to. In the past, she's been advocating that young men go and fight in Ukraine against Putin's war machine as mercenaries and give them her blessing. No diplomacy. Young man, take up arms and go and fight in Kiev. That was her opening gambit from months ago when this all started to formulate. Quartang unleashed a mini budget. I think it was on Thursday or Friday, where we're talking about it live here on the show. The damage that dude has done since Friday, and it's only Tuesday, is unreal. The pound, mate, the pound is tanking like it's going down like a lead balloon, right? It's at its lowest point ever. It hit 103 yesterday. It's down to almost parity. The pound could become less than the dollar, I would say, within 2 weeks. Never mind the end of the year. It's September. There's no way it's going to take to the end of the year at the trajectory that it's on now. And yesterday, these interest rates that you talk about, the people really don't understand what they mean. The Bank of England had an emergency meeting yesterday saying, we will do whatever we have to do and hike those rates up as high as we have to keep this inflation under control. It is, it's so diabolical. So diabolical. But the people haven't got their letters yet from the building societies and the banks. They haven't hit the mat yet. And when they hit the mat from last month's rise, then if they hike them again this week, next week, they'll get another letter in October and another letter in November coming up to Christmas as everything is compounding. And maybe, just maybe, businesses will be pulling down the shutters, which many are, saying we can't stay open. It's not economically viable. Sorry, Darren, you're out of a job, son. Sorry, Rick, mate. Pack your bags. We can't continue to trade. But it's Christmas and my mortgage is going up every month and my electric, I can't pay it. Boss, it's like, I can't pay it either. I have no money myself. What do you want me to do, Rick?
It's I can't even get a turkey.
SH1T storm. Force 9 SH1T maelstrom. That's what I see. But hey, I'm just dramatic. I'm spreading fear porn. I'm just over dramatizing things, according to some folk. People are going to get the shock of their lives, mate.
Absolutely. And Liz Truss, not only I've said she's incompetent and she's done so much damage, yet this has been hidden from the view of most people in the public because old Queen Elizabeth had passed away. So that was a whole 2-week process in which nothing this new PM who had just been put in place was doing was being publicized. And even now, I still don't. I'm not really hearing a lot about the cost of living or about the interest rate rises and the impact that's having on mortgages. It's not just mortgages. If you rent, your rent's going to go up. You know, if you own a business, your property rates and everything, this is all going to go up. It impacts absolutely everything. And just very quickly, because I know we're going to a break.
We'll take it right now. I'll tell you why, because if we take it now, then you can expand on what you're going to say for a little bit longer before the little news break. So yeah, hold that thought, whatever you're going to say. And as soon as we come back from these ads, just launch straight into it. Give it to us both barrels, Darren. So just listeners, hold your water for 2 minutes. We'll be right back after these ads. And don't even think about going to Sky News or some other filthy organization. Stay here. Stay real on TNT Radio.
Michael Parker on TNT Radio.
I thought that if you went through the sewers of a major urban area like London or New York City, and you looked for a particular thing, you could probably find just about, you know, whatever you wanted to find. And back in June, you know, they talked about finding polio in the sewers of London, and then followed up that about a month later with polio in New York. Well, now the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, on Friday declared a state of emergency to boost polio vaccination rates among more evidence that the virus is spreading. When we look at that against the landscape of COVID, monkeypox, and all the rest of it, it just seems like there is a lot of these types of things coming out of the woodwork. And it's unfortunate, so we will continue to stay on top of that.
Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com.
It's never a burden to fight for truth. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, Darren, the mic is yours. Sorry, what were you going to say just before those ads, please?
Yeah, it's not just the economic policies that Liz Truss has come. She was elected or selected, should I say, as a conservative. I'm going to be a proper conservative, and I'm going to bring back conservative values, and we're going to be a conservative party again. And within 2 weeks, not only have we, she's implemented a load of economic policies that are going to be disastrous for the UK, but she's also said, oh, we need to relax immigration rules and we need to start allowing more migrants or more illegal migrants into the country. And we should no longer call them illegal migrants or illegal immigrants. We should call them new arrivals. Look at all these new arrivals that are arriving in Dover at the rate of 1,000 a day on dinghies. And, you know, I don't want to go into some sort of immigration rant, but my point was, the point I was trying to make is Liz Truss, cannot be trusted. She's clearly World Economic Forum. She's coming to implement their policies, their ideas, etc. And she's still yet got this support base saying what a great job she's doing. I don't know how, you know, what more can be done to wake people up apart from when they get that final red letter through their letterbox saying, pay us the 20 grand you owe us or we're taking your house. I mean, and
or when they're in the garden, in the front garden with their bags packed and some locksmiths come around and change the locks sent by the building society, the building society that wants to help, the building society that loves you, the building society that values you as a customer. Trust me, those dudes and dudettes would think absolutely nothing of slicing your financial throat, filleting you, packing your bags for you, throwing you onto the streets in the wintertime, changing the locks and sticking their fingers up and say, go forth and multiply. Trust me, they have no compassion, zero compassion, and they will stop at nothing to make a buck. So don't think your friendly neighborhood building society and bank, you know, those cashiers that grin at you. Hello. Hello, Mr. Munn. How can I help you? How can I help you? They'll slice you up. They'll slice and dice you, deep fry you with some ginger and onions and serve you up on a platter of sweet potatoes. Trust me, they'll do it. Trust me.
And they will get paid a bonus for doing it. A nice heavy bonus for doing it. And these cycles happen sort of almost every 10 years. The last one was 10 years ago in 2008, 2009. Yeah, everyone, they give all this free money out. Everyone runs to the banks with the free money they've given them saying, I want a mortgage. The banks are rubbing their hands because they know in 10 years' time, there's going to be an economic crisis and they come and take that property off you. So not only have they've never lost or gained any money as such, because this is just a fictional, money's a fictional caricature. Get your words out. It's a social construct, and all it really is, these mortgages, in the vast, not the vast majority of cases, but in a lot of cases, is a land grab, and we go through these cycles of boom and bust. However, this particular bust moment that we're in now is going to be unlike any others that we have previously experienced. And the people who are putting this in place and implementing this agenda have technology and real, real wealth and power on their side. We should be, you know, if you're a homeowner and the whole home owning sort of ethic and narrative that we've lived in the UK that was pushed upon, you know, everybody should be a homeowner, Margaret Thatcher, that's gone. And in the future, people aren't going to own homes. They are going to be part of the whole subscription service that they want us to sign up to.
It's, listen, as much as we may talk about it, we don't, it'll never happen. We don't want to sit there. They're marching towards that day by day. Since last Friday, they've made more progress than we have. All right. Since last Friday, they have destroyed the pound because of this lunatic tax cutting budget that they're bringing in that does favor the super wealthy. Okay. If you're on 150 grand a year, happy days, you'll lose the 45% income tax rate. If you're a basic rate income taxpayer, you get a 1 percentage point cut in the basic rate of income tax, a little bit of a reduction in your national insurance. Somebody worked it out. For the average bloke, that's going to work out at 10 quid a week or something like that, saving in tax versus 150 to 200 pound a week increase in your cost of living, your mortgage, your electricity, your gas, your fuel, blah, 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 blah. So, okay, Darren, we're going to give you an extra tenner a week. Oh, thank you. But we're going to take 150 a week off you. On the other hand, oh, you're joking. No, I'm not. Oh, well, that's okay. Because, you know, well, you're on my side and you're my government and you're out for my best and you wouldn't even be plotting at all to destroy my life. The wake up is coming, mate. It's coming this winter.
Absolutely.
You watch and see. Pennies will be dropping, and not pennies from heaven. Pennies will be dropping as people realize they've been screwed. And sadly, I fear by that stage, so much damage will be done. It's not just a case of, okay, we've got to do something now. Forget it. The horse has bolted. The horse has bolted, and you're left carrying the can, or I'm left carrying the can. Let's take a super quick, just let's do this, and then we can have a good run up until the end of the show. When we take this short news break, we'll be back in 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds here on TNT Radio. Don't go away. Don't even do the toilet.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Iran's accused Washington of capitalizing on the unrest in the country and using ongoing anti-government protests to further destabilize the nation. Mass evacuations are underway in the US state of Florida as a powerful hurricane bears down on the state's Gulf Coast. And NASA has fired a rocket into an asteroid the size of the Great Pyramid of Giza to try and change its course in a test of the world's first planetary defense system.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay. Sorry, the news jumped the gun in front of you again there as you were about to launch into something. Go for it, my friend. The floor is yours. You got 14 minutes to talk now if you want.
So the story that I did want to, you know, that I wanted to talk about particularly today, it's coming out from a group of people that I have been involved with for the last couple of years with regards to vaccine mandates and opposing the COVID agenda. There's a doctor called Dr. Asim Malhotra. He's a cardiologist. He's been a TV doctor. He was actually pushing vaccinations and encouraging people to have vaccinations back in 2021. He appeared on GMTV. And then his father had a heart attack, which as a cardiologist pushed him to look into the harms and safety and side effects of the mRNA vaccines. He believed the vaccine was responsible for his father's heart attack. And he has now been, one, very outspoken about the vaccines and their safety. He has appeared on numerous media channels saying the vaccines aren't safe. And he has now, after 9 months, published a paper. This paper is actually getting quite a lot of attention. The conclusion of the paper is to demand the end of the vaccine program in the UK, specifically or mainly for young people, but also in general. And at the same time, there is a petition which has been signed by over 250 doctors that was presented yesterday to number 10 Downing Street to Liz Truss, also demanding the end of the vaccine program for young people. I think it's under 18 or what, etc.
And I've
had a look at the results from Dr. Asim Malhotra's paper. There is a press conference that's been organized in London today. There are numerous quite well-known doctors who have been opposed to the narrative, such as Dr. Claire Craig, Dr. Ross Jones, Dr. Lost Tess Laurie. So there's this conference. All journalists have been invited. It will be interesting to see who turns up. But I wanted to talk about it on TNT and make a good point of it, because it might not be on the BBC. It might not be on Sky News. I suspect it might be on GB News, but that'll probably be the only place in the mainstream that you'll find it, hear about this in the UK. And there are massive, so the outcome, the conclusions from this paper were there were massive process issues with the MHRA in adjudicating safety and in the authorization or emergency authorization of the mRNA vaccines, that for anyone under the age of 80, this is an amazing statistic, you need 93,000 jabs to prevent one COVID death. Under 80, 93,000. Over 80, they reckon it's 230 jabs to prevent one death. And even that number, when you consider, as you know, Rick, people in the studio, and everyone who's listening to this show knows that the number of side effects are probably 1 in 25. I've seen even worse statistics like coming out of Thailand where it was 1 in 6. So if you think you need 93,000 jabs for a young person to be one person to be prevented from death from COVID, maybe a quarter of that 93,000 might suffer from serious side effects.
Yeah.
So this has all been demonstrated in this paper. It's been published through the Journal of Insulin or Insulin Resistance. And everyone's going, why has it been published through a diabetes medical journal? The reason being is this journal takes no money from Big Pharma. And therefore, Dr. Asim Malhotra believed it would have been the safest, most non-biased scientific journal to put it through. And, you know, it's been peer reviewed and it's been looked at by people like Jay Bhattacharya, Dr. Campbell Murdoch. They're both also in agreement that the vaccine program has to be stopped, not just in the UK, but worldwide. And it's receiving some criticism and opposition from the Imperial College in London. Of course, I'm sure Neil Ferguson's got his calculator out and said, hey, we don't like this paper. So there is this big press conference. There are now numerous doctors in quite large bodies. You know, the 250 doctors presented a petition yesterday are now calling on the UK government to end the vaccine program as we see it being ended in Scandinavian countries like Denmark, where nobody's allowed to have the vaccine under the age of 50. Or they're not recommending anyone under the age of 50 have the vaccine. We sit here, other rumors around the world. Canada are now dropping all their mandates. New Zealand are saying, oh, mask wearing is a personal choice. So we are seeing the end of the COVID narrative in its entirety, I believe. And now we're entering the world of the aftermath. And there are people now who are suddenly raising their heads above the parapet, finally, and really starting to push hard to look at the damage that these vaccines have caused, but also to make sure that nobody else has them. So I wanted to present that story.
It's good that this is happening. And by all means, I am fully behind it. I support it. Anybody that's trying to halt this campaign of death, it's all good. In the past, you know, looking back to when this all really started to, you know, you had something like the Great Barrington Declaration that was, I don't know, there was 20-odd thousand medics signed that. It was dismissed. It was mothballed. It was overlooked. It was vilified. It was demonized. I think there was a group, I might be wrong, America's Frontline Doctors, but they stood somewhere on the steps with their white coats on and they all spoke out against what was happening and said, this can be treated with, you know, prophylaxis and one thing and another, or whatever it was, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and all this. And they were demonized and vilified. They were silenced and they were kept stum and they were pushed under the carpet. So let's hope and believe that at this point, maybe now's the time, you know, because timing's very important. You know, a lot of water has passed under the bridge over the last year or two, or it'll be coming up on 2 years in December that the injections were given to the vulnerable in the UK. It was December 2020, unless I'm mistaken. And from there, then it filtered down through the age groups. And, you know, I was thinking this morning, you know, I was thinking about these doctors that are coming out of the woodwork now that were very pro-vaccine and they were injecting people over the last however long. And much as I hate to say it, it's better that they lend a voice now, even after they've caused carnage. Maybe they did it willingly. Maybe they did it knowingly. Maybe they were genuinely ignorant. I don't know. But anybody that's raising a voice, and I mean anybody, against, I'm calling this what it is, a dangerous, lethal, maiming concoction of poison that is completely unnecessary and completely ineffective, irrespective of what they did up to this point. And I know some people saying, oh, they're, no, they must. Yes, maybe they should stand trial. Maybe they will stand trial. But if they're coming out now, it's like if you commit murders, all right, you can't go back and change that. But if you say, I'm not going to kill anybody from this point forward, and to ease the victims' families, I'll tell you where the bodies are hidden. I'm in jail. I'm doing time, but I repent. I'm not going to do it again. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. Better you hadn't done it at all. Better you hadn't done it. But you can't turn back time. You can't unless you're sure. If I could turn back time. But yeah, sure, to the side. We're not sure. I'm not Sonny or whoever her husband was, that dude back in the 60s. She must be about 100 by now. But anyway, yeah, we can't do that. So anybody coming on board to say, this is lethal, this is dangerous, this is ineffective, this is not needed, do not give it to children, and they're saying it in public, we gotta push them to the forward and say, okay, all right, better late than never. Wish you had done this a month or a year ago, but that's not me, has to deal with that. I'm not, I didn't inject anyone. I don't have any deaths on my conscience. In fact, maybe, who knows, you and me, we might have saved a life one or two down the line through all our ranting and raving. So I've got no blood in my hands, mate. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad of that. I wouldn't swap that for any position or doctorate or title or money and a house and riches. I can sleep at night, mate, and that, my friend, is valuable. That's more valuable than a doctor's wage.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I personally, I'm not saying I am responsible for, say, saving lives, but I'm pretty certain from the feedback that I've had, just like you probably have, Rick, over the last few years calling out the vaccine program, even from before when it started, that, you know, people had, whose minds have been changed. And that's the same for anyone who's speaking out. You might not, whether it's online, in the real world, however, whatever medium or method of communication you're using, you may feel that what you're doing is unimportant, but you've only got to influence one person, and you may have saved that person's life.
Correct.
Yeah. And you, that person then himself might then go on and speak. And as for, you know, I've seen a lot of criticism of Dr. Asim Malhotra. Oh, he's jabbed. He was encouraging people to jab. People change their minds. What people need to realize that traditional vaccines using the very rudimentary technology that created the very first vaccines, and the ones that we've always had, the traditional, you know, dead virus, you get a bit of dead material and you get an immune response from, these vaccines are actually good and they do work, but they've been misappropriated by people in power for more devious purposes. I think they are deliberately there to make us sick. So for a medical person to originally believe when these vaccines come out that they were safe or that they were a good thing, in a media environment where they're surrounded by all this propaganda, you can't blame these people for thinking vaccines are here to save us.
And all their bosses and their health trusts and their health minister and the chief medical officer and the chief scientific officer and every country were all together singing in unison. Yeah. These are safe. These are effective. These will prevent this. You need to have this. If you don't do it, you're risking lives. I don't know if you saw the clip this week, and this is what I can liken it to. And I've been guilty of being swept along by the herd mentality in the past, as I'm sure you have. We get things wrong. There was a clip this week. It was like a security camera in some restaurant, and everyone was just sitting eating their dinner or their lunch. No problem, no trouble. And a large group of people ran past. It was a CrossFit training group. There must have been about 50 or 60 of them, but they jogged past this restaurant on the street. And the people in the restaurant, a lot of them started looking at each other and assumed that that group of people were running from danger somewhere further down the road. And most of them, darn, I kid you not, they all got up and left their food and ran down the street after the crowd. And it's like that, looking over your shoulder going, well, everybody else is doing it. I don't want to be the only person left sitting. What if there's a bomb? What if? You don't know, but you're just following the herd. And that's why it's important. And listen, as much as, you know, people are understandably peeved off because they've been demonized, and you've been slagged off. Mate, I've been slagged off something shocking, but I don't give a stuff what people say. They're only words. Mm-hmm. And if I could, I was going to sing another song, but I'm not going to. But anyway, yeah, words, say what you like about me. You know, I know what I know, and I know my hands are clean and my conscience is clean about this last 2 years. The people that threw stones at me and rocks at me and you and other people, they've got to deal with their consciences. So if they switch now and they come on board, well, fair enough, but I'm not the one who has to deal with the litany of disaster that I've caused over the last 2 years. So better have them on side than against. Of course, some will be controlled opposition. Of course, they'll be called shills. Of course, this, and this. Mate, if they're not for us, they're against us. That's all there is to it. So, you know, where do you stand at? You know, who are we?
My attitude is very simple. I try to shoot the message, not the messenger. And like I said, if there are people now who are changing their mind, radically changing their mind from being a believer in the COVID narrative to being opposed to the COVID narrative, and specifically the vaccines and everything associated with it, you know, digital ID and vaccine passports and all the rest of it, then that's great. And the more people that change their mind, that's great, because the more people that do change their mind and then spread the word, you're going to prevent or reduce maybe the damage that's coming in the future. I mean, with regards to the economy, it's like a tree, you know. Our economy is like a tree, and they've hacked it all the way around with an axe, and it's just there, still on a bit of a pivot. And I suspect it's going to fall over regardless. But we still need people to change their mind. We still need people to speak out. And if there's all these doctors now presenting information to Parliament, to the Prime Minister herself, as incompetent as she may be, she's still got it. She still now knows there can be no argument from them then to say in 2 years' time, when 50% of the population's dead, let's just say, they can't say, oh, we didn't know, because they do.
And it's on video, and it's on record, and they're standing outside the gates at 10. So that has a lot of power in it too. The old, I never knew, nobody told me, I wasn't made aware of this. Well, look, Darren, that's me standing at your front door, handing you a dossier saying, Darren, all the evidence is in here, so you can't say, I never knew. Let's take another real quick break. And you know, ice melting. I got a bottle of water here. I left it in the freezer too long. It went to solid ice. I left it out overnight. Most of it's melted, but there's still a block of ice in the middle of it. However, the ice is melting, and I think there's various ice caps are melting, and I'm not talking climate change here. I'm talking about geopolitically, and I'm starting to see people like Ardern and Trudeau starting to ever so slightly backpedal and distance themselves from their filthy, dirty narratives over the last 2 years. Let's look at some of these gangsters when we come back after these breaks here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
The Great Reset began in the 1930s? Oh, yes. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's key advisor laid out a primitive version of the Great Reset.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Stuart Chase, a key advisor to former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, envisioned an early version of the Great Reset in the 1930s and 40s. Chase envisioned what he called government control of energy resources, hydroelectric power, coal, petroleum, natural gas, the control of transportation, railway, highway, airway, waterway, and the control of agricultural production. Chase was so enamored with government control of every aspect of our lives that he even looked up to fondly the Soviet Union. At the end of his 1932 book, A New Deal, Stuart Chase asked, quote, why should the Soviets have all the fun remaking the world, unquote. Well, we could update that to the year 2022 and ask, why should the Chinese have all the fun remaking the world, as the once free West now is copying the social credit type system of China and limiting freedom for millions. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Exponentially increasing battery production is said to be necessary for a green transition, but this will damage economies for no genuine environmental gain. The mining and processing of metals necessary for batteries causes significant environmental damage. Acids used for water leaching in processing lithium poisons rivers. Pollution from cobalt mining is linked to birth defects. Global lithium production has more than doubled since 2016. The September 2019 World Economic Forum report forecasted a 14-fold growth in global battery demand by 2030. The ugly truth is that exponentially increasing battery production has expanded a new form of slavery. For instance, most cobalt used in batteries is sourced from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where many mines use child labor. Mega batteries planned to store electricity from wind turbines and solar panels will make electricity unaffordable.
Democracy is under attack. Western governments are trying to regulate the internet to shut down free speech. Australia and the UK are taking control of their domestic internet. What's next for the US?
Lighting the fuse for freedom.
This is TNT Radio.
Yes, backtracking, tippy-toeing backwards out of the room, hoping no one can see you exiting stage left. I saw Ardern this week. Now, she's still got the globalist bit between those jaws of hers, but she did come out and say, well, you know, the booster campaign, you know, some people don't seem to want to go down that route, and, you know, people should just be able to live the way they want to live. Trudeau yesterday was collared about his hateful rhetoric towards the unvaccinated last year, and he said, no, I'm only directing that towards those who were spreading misinformation and weaponizing the internet against science. And of course some Canadians had reservations, and we want to help those Canadians, and we never demonized those Canadians. The guy is a rat, an absolute rat, and I'm sorry for any rats listening, any vermin that are listening to the show. I'm sorry for offending you and your ilk by likening Justin Trudeau to one of you, but that's about as best I can come up with. He's a rat, a cockroach, a maggot. He's a maggot. What would you call him? Family friendly, of course. What would you call him?
I won't use any words, but, you know, I would call him a wet bloody blanket, and his makes my toes a sap. Yeah, he's a fanny. Yeah, pansy. Am I allowed to say pansy? I got a week.
Well, pansy's a flower. You know, it's like a chrysanthemum. You know, it's nothing wrong with that.
I called Owen Jones a pansy once on Twitter, and I put a picture of a pansy and that got me a week for hateful speech. And then
a flower, like a rhododendron and a rose and a daisy. Let's call him a daisy then. He's a daisy.
He's a daisy. And in fact, that suits him even better. But he's backtracking. But at the same time, he's saying, you know, everyone should get their vaccine for the winter because, you know, we've got this new one and there could be new variants. Because, you know, if you don't, we might have to put in other restrictions. So there's still this sort of backhanded threat coming out of Trudeau's gob. But yeah, they're all backing off. And Ardern, I don't know. The only way that they could win new elections or remain in power is through the various bodies that support him, the WEF, etc., cheating. But what I think we're seeing now is a shift in the political spectrum, a shift in the position of the pendulum, i.e. it's swinging back the other way. We've seen this Giorgia Meloni in Italy. We've seen a right-wing government in Sweden. They have got a right-wing government, or they've got
They do now.
Yeah, this is recently. Now, I don't think these people can be trusted. The woman in Italy was supportive of vaccine passports. She still supports Ukraine, and she's opposed to Russia. So I'm wondering whether...
And she's associated with the Aspen Foundation, which is, you know, Rockefeller and Gates founded.
Yep. You know, of course. And I can get conspiratorial about it, and you can think the global elite are social engineers who are in charge of the planet have gone, hey, no one's buying this woke nonsense. No one's buying all this left-wing stuff coming out of Ardern's mouth. No one's buying the COVID stuff. I know what we'll do was we'll put in a load of right-wingers in.
We'll swing hard to the right.
Same agenda. Just coming out from a different side of the political spectrum.
Fresh angle.
And I think we might see that. We might be getting out of Liz Truss, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A right. Oh, this is a far right government. You know, Biden gets moved and they get Trump back in, or DeSantis. They go, oh, we've got a far right government. And we see them pop up all over the world. But we still head towards the whole digital ID, mm-hmm. digital prison that they're planning they have been building around mm-hmm. us for the last few years. But yeah, I'll be glad to see the back of Trudeau. I would be glad to see the back of Ardern. I was glad to see the back of Boris Johnson.
Although, you know, with Trudeau, to be realistic about this, well, he has an opposition person that he's vilifying now, a conservative, but let's say he stays in, and let's say his tenure served and he has to step out. His vice president, Chrystia Freeland, is infinitely worse, if that is even possible, than Trudeau, and a much higher ranking member. She's on the board of directors of the WEF. And I don't know about you, but you know,
and she's from Ukraine.
When someone new pops up on the political scene, and it's happening all the time, you know, this woman, Maloney, no one really knew a whole lot about her. She's the talk of the town. You know, the new Swedish guy, the talk of the town. Various people are popping up there, the talk of the town. And the first question is, what's their background? I will assume, rightly or wrongly, and do my research, of course, but off the bat, I will assume they are affiliated or connected to or working in line with the WEF or some other globalist outfit, unless I can see otherwise, or at least on a cursory glance anyway, it's almost a given now. So when Maloney came on, and we talked about this in depth yesterday, she delivered an absolute barnstormer of a speech. 2 minutes of brilliant magnificence. However,
couldn't describe it.
You know, I could write a 2-minute script, globalist script, and the globalists could think I'm the greatest globalist in history, but it's only from the teeth out. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. So talk is cheap, as the saying goes. And if you've watched Full Metal Jacket, great film by Stanley Kubrick, he says, you know, you can talk the talk, but do you walk the walk? And we're going to see how Giorgio or whatever her name is, Maloney, we're going to see her walking soon, the same way as we're seeing Kwarteng. He's taking his first steps like a baby elephant through the China shop. Liz Truss is now walking. She's walking the walk. Immigration's good. Nuclear war's good.
Let them all in.
It's only been 2 to 3 weeks.
New arrivals.
Yeah. So imagine what we're going to be talking about if we're still around in another 2 to 3 weeks' time. We will have a lot of material, my friend, to dissect. Yeah. There's so much going on. How do you even keep track of all this?
I use Twitter, so that's how I keep track of it. But it's too much. Yeah. There's too much. I mean, I was thinking before we come on, and I wrote some notes. I mean, that's just one story. The vaccine stuff we could have talked about for hours if we really wanted to delve into it. And there is so much going on, and so much that hasn't been talked about because we've had Queen Elizabeth dead in the UK, which has dominated not just the UK news, but the global news for 2 weeks. And I'm sure now the stories that we haven't heard about are going to start hitting us thick and fast, as they can't hide it anymore. Just like they can't hide all the bodies that are piling up. And the other thing, going back to the vaccine story, why they might be having these conferences, and there seems to be no censorship online on vaccine stories. I got hit for Ukraine, the Ukraine stories and the Russia vote and all the rest of it. Got suspended for that recently, but not for some of the things that I've said about vaccines. You can
even say, your new account, by the way? Your new account already? How many times?
I've had one suspension, 12 hours. That's for complaining about the Ukrainians killing voters before they could get to the voting booths in Russia, because they were shelling. Yeah, they were shelling the voters and the voting polling stations.
You probably think you've got your strategy nailed down, going, they'll never get me again. They'll never get me again on the vaccine. So, you know, you become a little bit blasé about Ukraine. The next thing, nuked.
Watch what
be careful, my friend. Please be careful.
But my point is there doesn't seem to be the censorship in place for vaccines and the COVID story anymore. I think it's dead, and that they know they can't cover it up anymore. And now the truth's going to come out. And I think they may want the truth to come out in conjunction with all the energy price increases and your mortgage is now £1,000 a month. Oh, what? You injected us with a dangerous experimental gene therapy and you've caused all this harm to people, including my own family. It's just all going to pile on, and it might be deliberate because they want that social unrest so they can come in with their solution. So I'm not saying it. That's just the crazy, paranoid, conspiratorial mind of Darren of Plymouth, but I've been saying it for 2 years. They're going to let you know what they've done because they want you upset.
They and listen, let's face it, it's working. And a little word of advice just as we wrap up the show, okay? By all means, familiarize yourself with the events in the world. By all means, do a little bit of research. But let me put this to you, Darren, and I'll put it to me, I'll put it to Jeff in the studio. Let's assume you know everything there is to know about Georgia Maloney. Let's assume you crack that nut and you get to the truth. When you go to the supermarket, you're still paying 50% more than you should for your cornflakes and your milk. When you get your energy bill through the door, it's still up by 40 or 50% when you get the bailiff's notice through the door. So all that head knowledge and all that digging and all that acknowledgement and acceptance of truth, it's sleight of hand at the bottom line because you're still paying for stuff through the nose. So be tread carefully. Don't overdo it. Stay in the real world, one foot in the real world, and at least a little toe in the alternate world. Darren, we're up to time, old friend. I could talk to you all day and all night and maybe even all day tomorrow about this, but we can't. I gotta go. Thank you, sir. I'll be back after the news with Dr. Philip Altman here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.